One of these days, I look around for somebody saying, oh, yes, we'll take care of it for you. So that is something that needs to be done. And I think that's all we have in the word of line of announcements this morning. So if you can turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 1, we're going to get on with this morning's message. And do realizing and do rejoicing in the Lord for the works that God has given us to do. And also for those who come to learn the spiritual gifts and come to go forward in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they're going to fulfill their God-ordained ministry. In other words, a ministry to which each and every one of us have been called to do. Not that when somebody says, you know what, this is just something for somebody. Jesus Christ has gave the commission and the work to which we are due for Christ. It is for every one of us. Now, this morning we want to go into certain thing about the works of man. I read in this title, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read this. He says, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered, said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. And Jesus asked the question always, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I think it is those who are not of a lot of religious denominations and understand that those who think that they're so well and so good are not the ones that are going to do things for Christ. Remember, Jesus did not go to the Sadducees and Pharisees looking for those who were going to be his apostles. He looked for fishermen, he looked for publicans, and he looked for sinners. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Peter, James, John were just fishermen. They were men of no reputation and unlearned men. God can take that and turn it around and make them the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of the earth. Remember, Jesus said, upon those 12 will he build his church, and those would be the pillars to which the 12 apostles are. The works of man. These are the works to which God warns us about. These are the works to which, when we're called out to the field, we must not do. Titus chapter 1, verse 16 says this. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I often wondered about that. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, how can we know this? Well, while doing a study on the works of God, we come up with the conclusion that the works of God and his servants did were supernatural works. And these were wonderful things. They were not the works of the flesh, but they were the works of God. But when we look at the works of man and his works, they are not the same, but he tries to pass them off as the works of God. Cain tried that. Oh, he just come along and he said, this is what I give unto you. This is what should be acceptable. And yet I find it so true. When Titus, this was written in Titus, they profess that they know God. If we know God, and the people that do know their God shall do great and do what? Become great and do exploits. Now, exploits means great and mighty things that God says. He says, but in works they deny him. In other words, in their works, it does not show. Being abominable. What does that mean? Go in a dictionary and look it up. And you'd be surprised what it will tell you. It's not good. Abominable means an abomination. Something that is disgusting. When man throws his flesh at God and says, here, look at me. This is who I am. And you should accept me for who I am. Baloney. I hear so many people say that God should accept me for who I am and what I am. God accepts you as a sinner and he changes you. Disobedient. There's more people that are disobedient to the word of God who go around saying that they know God. If you're disobedient, it means you're not obeying. And if you're not obeying, you're not walking with God. And if you're not walking with God, you're not doing his word. I just keep going on, and we come back to the same thing. And unto every good work, reprobate. Well, the Bible says there's none good but God. And I think the works of God are good. So, unto every good work, reprobate. In other words, those good works they don't do. They promote the other. They promote God, but they promote the works of man. And it is the works of man which is not good. When you promote your works, you're provoking God, and this is not good. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 18. So when we begin to look at the works of man, his works are not the same, yet he tries to pass them off as the works of God by saying this is what he would have us to do. They are the natural works of man, and they just don't work with God. Why? Well, it's our flesh. It's our flesh, it's our flesh, it's our flesh, and we try to pass it off as something good. When will we ever learn that our flesh is an abomination to God? That's why he took it to the cross and crucified it with his and gave us what? A new life and a new way to walk, not in the old way. So why do we keep going back to the old way, figuring that's the best way? Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14 says this, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. When you walk in the flesh, you think you're better, and you begin to despise others and thinking you are like so. You have a sense of arrogance in you, a sense of, I know, I'm better, we're better, look at us. You ever seen people like that? Oh my goodness, there's the world full of them. Verse 10, two men went up in the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice he prayed thus with himself. Weren't we supposed to be praying to God, talking to him? But he's talking to himself, thinking that God's hearing. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I'm a good man. I don't steal. I don't murder. I don't cheat. I'm not an extortioner. I do good every day. When I get up in the morning, I don't even have a wrinkle in my hair. I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Verse 12. I fast twice in the week. And I let people know, sir, look at me. I know how to fast. And actually, I can go for 2 and 3 weeks and maybe drink water every second day. I'm good. I give tithes. Oh, I pay my tithes all the time. On time with the dime. Of all that I possess, I don't miss a nickel. And the publican, verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am a scoundrel. I am not very good. I am a terrible man. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, what was the difference? This man was a clean man. He was a nice man. He was a good man. He didn't extort. He wasn't crooked. He was very, very true. He paid all his tithes. He was a good game player. He was a good team player. He went to church every Sunday, didn't miss a lick. Got up in the morning, oh, just like so. Fancy suit, nice tie, perfect. But is this what it's all about? For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. You see, this man was offering himself and saying, see, look, I look like so. Now, does that mean you can be an extortioner, a thief, a crook, and a bandit? No, that's not what God has intended for you. But going around thinking because you are so that God has accepted you a lot more, no. It's when we think that we're better than others and look down upon others, thinking that we are better. Because we go to church every Sunday, we're better than everybody else. Because we tithe, we're better than everybody else. Because we don't do like so, we're better than everybody else. We wash our hands every time we go to the washroom. We wash our hands before every meal. We're good. We lift up our works. Because this is what we're doing. We're lifting up our self-righteousness. We're lifting up what we do as being the best. And make our do-goods our righteousness and not the righteousness of Christ. There's a big difference. Cain was the first one we see that he offered. What he offered was not acceptable of the Lord, and what he offered was refused. It is the same thing as this Pharisee when he stood there and he told God and he tooted his little horn and said, I am not as other men are. And he's saying, God should have just said to him, yes, you're the best. You're the best. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm very true. I'm very fair. And I've seen people and I've talked with people like this. But there's something missing. And as we go down this road, we'll see it. I'm not an adulterer. Or even as this publican. Turn me to Genesis chapter 4. I wonder what the Pharisee thought when Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, that Christ accepted the publican and he rejected the Pharisee. See, the whole battle was all about is that they thought they were better. There's people who go around today in their little religious denominations or little religious organizations thinking that they're the best. I remember when I first got saved, this one church denomination said they were the chosen church of God. They are the great church. That was 25 years ago. Sure changed. Sure changed. See, it was one time when they believed the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And that if you didn't believe that, you never got into the pulpit. That changed after a number of years when they're hiring preachers to go in there who totally go against spiritual gifts or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who doesn't believe in them, don't care about them. Just one small example, but if you start doing that, how far down the road do you go? But in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, it says, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And guess what? And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And sin did take hold of him. He went and murdered his brother Abel. Character assassinate. Or destroy others from walking with Christ. Just Cain went out in the literal thing and went and killed his brother. Poor Cain. I always take out old Cain and bring him out and we show him. And what does he do? Well, he wasn't accepted. What he did wasn't accepted. What he offered wasn't accepted. He lacked something. You see, what he lacked is what a lot of people try to do is the works of man. They try to offer their works unto God instead of the works of faith. You see, my works of faith is Christ did it for me. when I come before God, I come before Him with a sacrifice. I come with Christ's righteousness, not my righteousness, because I know it stinks. You see, the publican understood this because he knew what he was. There's some people who do not know that they lived in such a good life. They live in a sheltered life. There's some who sit down and think, my life is just so good. And there's some who sit down and think they don't have to listen to anything at all and everything is a bunch of hogwash. It's not so. Remember, the sacrifice came into being, and then you will see the supernatural work of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin. In other words, that sacrifice that was brought before you was a miracle. It was not given by man. It was not done by man. So why does man think that he should have a part of it? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, he yet speaketh. In other words, God accepted Abel's, and he rejected Cain's. And he said to Abel, you are righteous. Does not God say to you in Christ Jesus, you are righteous? Why? Because you don't have your own self-righteous, you have the righteousness of Christ. You're not relying on your do-goods. You're not relying on yourself being like so. If you think you're going to go to heaven and your God's going to be happy with you because you're just like so, you're in for the shock of your life. If you turn me to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read a couple of verses. Cain's work was evil. Now, why do I come and stress that fact? Because the works of man is evil. The works of man does not bring out the works of God because there's no faith in it. You see, the Pharisee was standing before God in his own works and not the works of Christ. So therefore, there was no faith. And we know without faith it is impossible to please God. We know without faith we can't come to God. A man without faith is a man without hope, because a man is trusting in himself. I know a lot of people say, well, believe in yourself. I have no faith in myself. My goodness, that's the worst thing to do, is to trust in yourself. What are you going to do? Mere mortal. Hebrews 11, verse 4 to 6 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And some people figure, oh, Enoch, he must have been a perfect man, so good for God just to translate him and take him away. Doesn't say anything other than what? He pleased God. How did he please God? By faith. How are you going to please God? By faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you come before God and say, Lord, I've been to church attendance out of the 52 weeks, I have not missed a day, I've been to every Sunday service and every Bible study. And God says, well, so? Throw that in front of God. Lord, I have not said a bad thing, I had a bad thought for 52 weeks. God says, so? Say, well, means we shouldn't do it? No, it doesn't mean that. You see, you keep trying to put what you do in front of God and saying, that should be acceptable. My faith is acceptable unto thee. It is my faith that things are going to happen. Cain's works were evil. So what Cain offered was evil. He offered the works of the flesh, that which he could do, and it did not get anywhere. 1 John chapter 3. Remember the prodigal son as you're turning in there? One son went out and had a good time. Well, so he thought. Till he woke up one day and he was with the pigs, and the pigs were there, and he was feeding pigs and saying, you know what? You know, isn't very good. Well, When you wake up one day, when you go live like the prodigal son, you'll wake up one day and you'll find out you've been feeding devils. And those devils have been having a good time with you. And guess what? You're in a pig trough. And you're in a pig pen. Feel good? Feel better? But here's the other son. Lived all his life with his father. And he was a good son. And he got jealous. Why? Because God rejoices over you, the sinner, when you come to him. You, the prodigal son. You, the Christian, who is turned away, who comes back. God rejoices over you. But then we get the Cain attitude. Oh, God thinks so much more of so-and-so because he's been blessing him and nothing for me. Ooh. You can just see the horns popping out of their head. Till they form into great big wicked antlers. And then you come after somebody trying to prong them with one of them. I know if I got 14 horns on my head, I'm bound to gouge them with one of them. Cain's work were evil, and it was just that simple. There was no faith. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Now it's Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." So, if I preach to you works and not faith in Christ, then it becomes the work of man and it becomes evil. It's not how many times you go to church. It's not how many times you've been good. It's not how many times you can go there and say, "I've been like so, I've been like this." It's what you do with the word of the living God and where you go with it. The Bible says, "For grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you've been perfect church attendance, God bless you. But don't think that's going to get you any marks in heaven. The only thing you might do is you might learn something and you might be able to go further and stronger in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't give you brownie points. Ephesians chapter 2. We preach faith. We preach faith in Christ. We preach believing in God. Because you want to know something? You could be the vilest and most wickedest offender, and yet you can drop on your knees before God and believe, and you can be healed and delivered and your sins forgiven right then and there. You see, that was the Sadducees and Pharisees' problem. Who is he that forgives sins to these people, these vile, contemptible things? We've been good. Look at us. We're the holy ones. We have all the scriptures. We have everything plastered on our walls. We don't do them, but we believe they all should be around here. You see? Ephesians 2, verse 8 9, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So you know what? My works and my flesh doesn't mean an amount of a hill of beans with God, so why even bother with it? So I just take it and I dump it. Turn me to Galatians chapter 3 for a couple more here, and I'll take you along. Where do I want to go with this? I want to go somewhere, and I want to say some things. And those things that I want to say and the things that where God has been bringing me is they should be said. Galatians 3 verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." There's nothing wrong with being a good person, but it doesn't get you into marks for heaven. Because the Bible tells us to be good and do good. Not to go and defraud our brother. And to walk honestly and soberly and righteously and justly. But if we think because we do these things, that is the best thing for us. And that's going to get us in heaven with God. And if we leave out faith, we're in big trouble. Because now we're back to our own works and our own do-goods, and we figure our flesh is acceptable. If you figure that your flesh is acceptable before God, you don't need Jesus Christ, do you? Since when do you not need Christ in all your walk with God? I need him every hour, every moment of the day, because his righteousness is what I need, and his faith and my faith in him, that, you know what, I'm acceptable unto God no matter whatever comes and happens to me, and no matter how good I am or how bad I am. But I've said that many times. But why say it? For the simple reason, it is not the works of man to which I promote. It is the works of Christ, which is the hearing of faith and us doing faith. You know what? If you don't believe your sins are forgiven, you're not forgiven. The work of God causes you to be born again, creates new life in you, born in the image of God, and has his characteristics in him. In other words, faith causes these things to happen. Why would I not preach faith? Hear me, Galatians chapter 5. You see, I want to see something in you which is very good. I want to see the fruit of the Spirit. But I know one thing. If you're not born again, you're not going to get it. And if I don't preach faith in his word, guess what? There is not going to be any spiritual growth in you. Why? Because you have to take his word by what? Being good every Sunday? Coming to church every Sunday? No, but by faith. That's the only way you can get it. So my preaching must be mixed with faith all the time. And that is the works of God. Why? The works of God were done by what? Faith. Moses did the works of God not because he was what? Holier than thou. It's because he believed his God that he was able to do those things. You see? It's the same thing for you. Put no confidence in your flesh. Put your confidence in Christ and his word that is able to lift you up and take you. It does not make you any better. You know you're a saint? You know what that saint means? One who sins ain't. Okay? You know better than a bum on the street. You know, sorry, I don't want to ruin your life and make you feel bad, but you know, you churchgoer. I always remember the one preacher when he cried out and said, don't ever think that that wino is going to heaven. I said, if he has Jesus Christ as a Savior, he's going to heaven. Is what makes you any better than him. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 26 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Because if we're doing that, and we're doing that in the church, you are walking after the flesh. And who are you to do that? Makes you so much better. When we walk in the flesh, we do the works of the flesh. And we hate others. We start to despise others. We start to resent others. As Cain rose up and slew his brother, if we had a knife in our hand, we would go and kill somebody. Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Oh, you'd be surprised. If you character assassinate somebody, do you not think that's just as bad? Sometimes the tongue is sharper than a two-edged sword sometimes. And sometimes you'd rather be stabbed than somebody putting words against you, and out of that tongue comes an awful lot. The Bible says we're to love one another, not bite and devour one another. It is the Spirit of Christ to which we have, to which we must draw on. If we draw on the flesh, you know what? We become partial, we become hypocritical, and we pick this one, we like that one, we don't like this, we don't like that. And guess what? I thank thee, Lord, that I am not like that. Now watch this truth. When Jesus said the poor had the gospel preached, and what kind of gospel do you think they got preached? What kind of gospel did Jesus preach? What does our Lord and Savior want us to preach? Works or the works of faith? If we believe. Now, why do we say that? Because the only way you're going to change is not because you say, okay, I'm going to redirect my attitude. It has to be a change of heart. If your heart is not changed, you will not change. You will go down the same path and go down the same trail, and you'll end up. Now, if you don't think so, think about your Christian walk and how many times you wanted to go back the old ways. It's only by the restraint of God that keeps you away. And some people don't even listen, and they still go back. I think of all the people trying to do good to the poor, the poor. Oh, the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor, poor, poor. Oh, the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor, the poor, 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 poor. And after a while, you start wondering, do they really care about the poor? Do we really care about the poor? How much do we really care about the poor? Well, let's just take the word of God and let's just come in and let us go and see the poor. Jesus said the poor had the gospel preached. And why did he preach the gospel to them? Because a poor man left in his poor state will always be poor. But if a poor man comes to Christ, he is a very rich man. You don't go there and keep the poor poor. It's the worst thing we ever had in our government and the way our country is a social thing where we take our poor and we keep them poor. The best way is to keep them blind, stupid, and ignorant. That way we can control the masses. Right? Anybody who preaches that kind of a gospel ought to be taken out and horsewhipped and dragged down the hill and thrown down the Grand Canyon. And if he makes it back up, thrown back down again till he gets it in his heart and his head that he's doing something wrong. He's not helping a poor man. I think of humanitarian aid, giving of goods to the poor. Digging of wells, giving money, raising money for projects, preaching the gospel. Oh yes, look at the things we're doing. If we spent more time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith in Him than we do out for bumming for money, we'd have an awful lot more souls to think about. But if I think this is what my thing is, I'm in for the shock of my life. If I think these are the works of God, I am deep trouble like Cain. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says this. I think we ought to get it in our hearts. Why? Should we not go and help other people? Yes. The Bible says to be helpful. We should care one for another. If Joey is lazy, let's help him be lazy. Right? In other words, why let him get out of bed? Just feed him in the bed. So he can just lay there. You know, if Jackie don't want to work, that's okay. We'll just encourage it. So we encourage wrongs. And we encourage things that are not good. And we keep doing it. It's kind of like spoiling our children. Our children say to us, oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, okay. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, okay. And then we wonder, what's wrong with our society? Then we wonder why, as Christians, we are not being effectual in the life to which we have. Why are we not getting through? What are we doing wrong? Why is our children like so? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to burn, have not charity, I profit me nothing. So, charity. Charity is the love of God, the true love of God. God says, you know what? If you don't work, you don't eat. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. God does not encourage idleness. He encourages what? He says, idleness is the hands of the devil. A lot of people preach that. But we don't believe that. Why? By the very actions to which we do. You see, we have the works of God in one hand and we have the works of Cain in the other. Now we have two choices. Which one is the right one? Well, I know Cain didn't do very good. And I know his flesh did not account for anything and God rejected it. But I know if I do the works of God, I'm going to benefit somebody. I'm going to benefit the poor. When Jesus said the poor had the gospel preached to them, guess what he did? Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, believeth. There are more people who look for self-gratification, to be seen of others doing a good deed for these characters. And we have do-gooders running all over the streets, chasing homeless, chasing these, chasing drunks. Do-gooders who do no good, even though they want everyone to think that they are doing good. Say, we shouldn't care for them? Never said that. But if you think that's going to get you into heaven, you're wrong. It's not about making you feel good. It's about helping somebody else. Because you want to know something? A lot of times you won't feel good when you have to do the right thing. Because you know what? Somebody's going to get mad at you. When you tell the child, you got to do this, and all of a sudden the child looks at you and says, ah, no! And you know you have to get them to do such and such, and guess what? They turn around and look at you. No, it's not a good feeling. It's a nice feeling when the child goes up and hugs you. Oh, I love you. Huh? And so the child says, I hate you. Matthew chapter 7. But why mention these things? Because the works of man have come to the point where in the churches today we are having difficulty. We are sending out missionaries who are doing more of the works of Cain than they are doing the works of the gospel. We have people going around this world today and in places that are trying to do the works of the flesh and figure that's going to be passed off and acceptable unto God. Can you imagine if Jesus went around like the Sadducees and Pharisees, what would have happened? It's a sad state of affairs, but we have to realize, what are we encouraging? And not only what are we encouraging, that you yourself will not fall into that same trap. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Oh, look at all the wonderful things we've done. And we foretold this, and we said that, and all that. And God says, you know what? In verse 23, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity. What are the works? Iniquity. What is the iniquity? Works of the flesh. They did many wonderful works, not the wonderful works of God, though. They did not make sure they were given the power of God to defeat the enemies. Sin, flesh, and the devil. What were people given? Money. Wells. Schools. Hospitals. These things are all well and good. They're nice to have. But what's most important? Putting a good suit of clothes on a dead man? I've seen a poor man going to heaven knowing that he'll forever have something far more better than he has here. I don't care what I get buried in. Doesn't matter to me at all. You can put me in a cardboard box, paper bag, makes no difference. You want to know something? I won't know, and I don't care. I see more people spend more money on the graves burying somebody than they cared for them all their lives. I guess a sense of guilt finally got him all the way to the grave. Well, we might as well put him in a good suit of clothes he never had in all his life and put him in a good pine box. One that the worms won't eat for at least 100 years. Is there anything wrong with doing a wonderful funeral for somebody? No. But it's everything wrong if we figure that somehow makes it better. Workers of iniquity are those who do the works of the flesh, that promote self-righteousness, that because they have been so good that they should, it should account for something. I remember many times I talked to many people who were saved and the unsaved. Well, you know, I've been doing all these wonderful things. Okay, so if they're not the things that God said to do, and there's nowhere in the Bible you're going to find God telling you to go build schools and hospitals and the preaching of the gospel. If you want to go build a school and build a hospital, say that's what you're doing because you think you should do it. But don't say God told you and God's showing you and God's doing this and God's doing that, because you know what? What are the works of God? So we shouldn't have any humanitarian care? Of course we should have care. Jesus cared about the poor. He cared about the people who were hungry. But these people were team players and were out in the fields helping the poor and the destitute, gave up their finances so others could go to the mission field and build a new school and a church and everything else. What was the most important weightier matter of the gospel? Is somebody to be saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and for them to receive an inheritance from Christ Jesus. What shame is to me preaching the gospel to you and you do not receive any blessings and promises of it? Matthew chapter 28 says this. Matthew chapter 28 says this. I know some people don't like to hear that. I know a lot of people say, well, you know what? We're doing such and such and we're doing a great work. And we're going to make sure there's not going to be a homeless person on the street. Well, good for you. And when they go to hell, they won't be homeless either. They'll all be in hell. They'll all have a home. They'll call it the H-E-L-L, hotel. Oh, we just call it Helltel. Y'all come in, lots of room for you in Helltel. Sounds like Cowtown. What a terrible thing. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I wonder if this was the reason why the second son said yes, and when he found went out to go out and field the work, and when he found out what was required of him, he changed his mind and said, hey, I ain't doing this. Jesus calls out and he says, come. I'll make you fishers of men. Where's the bait? He says, come, serve thou me, and follow me, and pick up your cross. Walk in the things that I say. Are ye able to drink from the cup that I drank from? Are ye able to be baptized with the baptism that he was baptized with? Whoa, slow down here. Back it up.